Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Every time we had a break, I would run indoors and I would open my, like, you know, medicine box, and I just was so ill. We've had so many moments where we've had like, you pull up your pants, you forget that you have a fever, and you just, like, go for it.
My name is Anna Silk. For 6 seasons, I played Beau on the hit TV series Lost Girl. I am so happy you are here for the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast to take a trip down memory lane with me, the amazing cast, and some very special guests. I'm so glad to finally be able to say the family is back together again. Welcome back, everybody, to the Lost Girl Rewatch podcast. It is episode 12 already, which I can't believe. Second to last episode of the season. I don't know if my voice sounds strange to all of you listening. We all have the flu over here. Flu strain A, to be exact. But I sound like I have a deep man voice in my head. But it is me, and I am here. And I think only my co-host for today would be able to pull me from my sick bed, which, as moms know out there, is really the kitchen. But I'm here. I'm thrilled to be here. And I am thrilled to introduce my co-host for today, the Miss Ksenia Solo.
Hello. Yay. My fluey, beautiful beau.
Oh, we had sick days together on set all the time.
So many sick days. Oh my God.
I feel like we had different ailments.
Oh my God.
Every season, frankly.
I remember this one night for me specifically, probably one of the worst nights of my, like, entire working career. I had like a lunchbox full of, you know, painkillers, fever reducers, like throat sprays, because I think I had strep throat. And I remember being on set at, like, I don't know, one in the morning, 2 in the morning, outside. I think in, like, you know, scantily clad, probably in, like, a short skirt. It was, I assume, like, minus, I don't know, 10 degrees, maybe worse. I remember pulling something so heavy, and, like, every time we had a break, I would run indoors and I would open my, like, you know, medicine box, and I just was so ill. We've had so many moments where we've had to like, you pull up your pants, you forget that you have a fever, and you just, like, go for it. But I feel
you just go for it. There's something weird, like, between action and cut, where you can just kind of show up and be like, I'm here. And then you kind of fall apart. I just remember us asking a lot for, like, can we have a ginger tea? We just need a ginger tea. And they'd bring us this fresh, like, real ginger tea.
Yeah.
And then we would be like, oh, good. And we take a couple sips, and then they'd be like, okay,
get back to, so we'd have to put our ginger tea down and then we'd go cut, do the scene and come back and our ginger tea. We're like, we need another one.
It's cold.
Yeah. But they took very good care of us on set all the time.
They did. We had little tickle trunks
of remedies with us at all times, I feel like. Yeah. But we're here. We are lucky that we have healthy bodies. Yes. We will recover in this family over here. I'm just speaking about us specifically because we're the ones with the flu.
Yes, for everyone.
So everyone listening, I hope everyone is taking good care of themselves this cold and flu season. Yeah. Anyway, so this, Ksenia, we're going to talk about episode 12 titled Dismembers Only. It was written by Jeremy Boxen and directed by Steve DeMarco, who we have talked a lot about on this podcast. How did you feel watching this episode and what were your first impressions?
I enjoyed it so much. I mean, I feel like I say that about every episode.
I know.
But there were so many charming and fun moments. It's hard to pick just one, but I really, really loved it. I love when like everyone's together, like solving the mystery. Bo and Dyson just make my heart warm. And I love Kenzie like interrupting their romance all the time. I found myself watching and being like, are you for real right now?
Like, I love it when they're in the bath and you just like walk in, you're like, we need, like, it's just totally normal.
Absolutely. I'm like looking in the water. I'm like, hey, how you guys doing? Do you need more bubbles? I totally interrupted the moment there. I think, oh my God. And, when Bo and Kenzie come to like convince Dyson and he's like still in the bath and Bo and Kenzie are just sitting there being like, please, please help us. I don't know. I just loved this episode so much. Don't know what else.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
I know, me too. I loved, first of all, this was the season where we really did a lot of undercover, you know, like there was like, we went undercover. So we would have like the different wardrobes and hair, makeup and stuff to reflect that. First of all, I loved your accent. I mean, I have to say it was so, I had totally forgotten all about that.
Me too.
But it was so great. And I loved, I mean, it was so much fun to watch. But it was weird to see like Bo and Dyson in preppy clothes.
Yeah.
What is happening? Like, and doing very couple like things, because this is when Bo and Dyson were really like a couple, you know, and I had forgotten how much of a couple we often were in that first season, which they particularly build up in this episode, of course, to tear down later, as we all know. But it was really weird to watch and like see Chris and I like walking in the forest in like preppy clothes. And felt like this weird out of body, out of character, not out of character, but the undercover nature of it was fun to watch. And I remember so much being on that location. We must have been there for a few days because we did a lot of filming there.
I remember how hot it was. Like, I just remember
really
my,
hot.
Felt like my face and my, like the makeup was just like melting off my skin. I definitely like got that like sensation back watching the episode.
You guys, totally,
the preppy couple. I just loved it so much. We had so many amazing guest stars in that episode. And please can I give a shout out to Michael Mando, who is so fantastic.
He's so fantastic. And he went on to be a regular on Orphan Black, right?
Wasn't he? Yes.
Yeah. And many other things, I know. He was amazing. And he was so grounded. And in the last scene, he was so moved. Like, he was visibly moved by his cousin, what he went through. I just remember the feeling of filming with him. You kind of go, oh, there's a bit of like, we got to hold space for this performance. Yeah.
Yeah. He brought such a beautiful energy to set. And I think that just reflects like just his energy as a person. And sometimes when you have people come in and you're supposed, you know, you meet them and like 5 seconds later on screen, you're supposed to be playing as if, you know, you're long lost friends or long lost lovers, or you're family, or you have such a tight knit bond. And like, we need to be able to feel that and see it. And with him, like having that 5 seconds, you know, to meet and then film, he brought so much levity, and I just felt like I had known this person forever, and he just made those scenes like so easy and enjoyable. Yeah. And I just enjoyed working with him so much. So big shout out to Mr.
To him. Mando. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You felt like you both had that history that you were supposed to have. Yeah. And frankly, I think from now on, we should just call you Meow Meow.
I was wondering if you were going to mention that.
I love
Meow Meow. I kind of like it.
I love it. I love Meow Meow. I think it suits you.
Thank you. Meow. I just completely forgot about that episode. There were so many moments that made me laugh. And one of my favorite scenes was, again, Kenzie interrupting the moment. Like, Bo and Dyson are having this nice moment on the couch, and Kenzie just comes in and is like, rub my feet, let me put my feet in your face. It was so nice to just, like, again, just have, like, all of us united and trying to solve this case.
It felt like acting camp again. It was one of those acting camp episodes. I remember being on that location. There was actually a couple, and they were naked, fully naked, that run by. Oh. You don't really see it as much in the episode, because it looks like, did you notice it?
No.
They were full commando. And
you're
so there was a lot of extras.
How did I miss that?
Well, and so I think it's, Dyson and I are there. I remember because like the actual filming of that is that there are two naked people standing beside you that you've never seen before, even clothed. And you're just like, oh, you're fully naked. They were standing to my left. Our director calls action, and this naked couple like runs by the screen, and Dyson and I are like, ooh, like, where are we? I don't know why we looked so like, ooh, weird, because I'm a succubus, frankly. But it was I just remember the whole filming of that. It just had this weird, but super fun energy. I think it was because there were so many background people, some of whom were naked. I loved the man who played the boss.
Yeah. Yes. He was
his physicality, like all his little moves.
I loved after you like succubused him and got the information from him, and you and Dyson are like, discussing the details, and he's just sitting there rubbing your shoulder, like still in his succubus haze. I don't know, just something about that. I was like, man, you're awesome.
I know. I feel like, look, we had great actors come on the show. That's true. But also, the writing and the directing inspires that kind of play, right?
100%.
So it's a combination of all those things. And he was so fun to watch. And actually the guest star who played Chloe, like the blonde rich, is actually a really good friend of mine, Amy.
Oh my God. So really?
It was funny to do a scene with her where she's like flirting with me, and I'm thinking, Amy, what's going
on? What are you doing?
I had known Amy back in my early audition days in Toronto. And she's a wonderful actress and a wonderful friend. So I had forgotten that she was in that particular episode. So that was kind of fun for me to watch. What was the most difficult or challenging part of this episode? Does anything come to mind for you?
I was so nervous about the accent. I wish I had more time. Like watching it back, I can tell that I'm talking a little bit too slow, like when I'm doing the accent, cause I'm really trying to like, do it like as perfect as I can. But I was so stressed about it, and I was like, I just want to get this right. But it's hard to perfect things like that when you don't have much time, but that was definitely the most challenging for me.
I mean, I feel like you nailed it, but I do get time crunch. Like we're often, there is such a time crunch for all of these things. Once you're up and running in a production, it's just like go, and you kind of don't stop running until it's at the end of the season.
Yeah.
So suddenly you're like, I'm learning an accent. I'm learning how to sword fight. Like, oh, if only, or whatever it is. Do you remember, actually, I just remembered this. There was one wrap gift that you gave me one year. Ksenia made us matching t-shirts that said, we work, we sleep, we work, we sleep. Because do you remember that's what we used to say, especially in season one? We'd be like, we work, we sleep. Because that's what we did, which we loved, by the way. We're not lamenting the fact that that's what we did, but it really was just, you know, quickly learning an accent and all that kind of stuff. It was really intense. But you did so well. I think I'm trying to think of my most difficult or challenging part. I mean, I know for some reason I keep talking about this damn leg injury that I had, but in that episode, it was particularly bad because I had just blown out this muscle in my leg. So it kept collapsing. You can't see it on screen, but like for any close-ups, if I was beside Chris, I was holding his hand. He was like my cane. And then when I had to run like a certain way, like kind of bouncy to try to not fall into the garden.
I was going to ask you what heels. It was like. It's one thing to run in like boots, which like usually I had when I was doing any sort of difficult running, but I took note. I was like, that's like soil and grass, and those are not easy heels to walk or run in. And that's like
a strappy heel. Strappy. No good.
Well, you did very well in that department, and I could not tell you were in pain, and those injuries are, they're really hard to deal with. So you were a champion, and any sort of, you know, what did you say? Like bobble running, any sort of like, running that wasn't your normal kind of running fit with like that preppy.
It did. But in watching it, I was like, oh yeah, I remember what I was trying to do there. I feel like, I mean, I loved the groundskeeper as well. I loved how he just like peeked out from places and just like stared at us. And I love Bo and Kenzie, like they see him and then they try to look cool and casual. Did you notice that? Like our body language right away was like,
great.
Yeah. It made me laugh. Cause we just had fun. We just had fun.
Yeah. You can feel it.
You can feel it. You can feel it.
And Steve DeMarco, of course, always brought like just the greatest sense of play and freedom, and you could just you felt like you could really I don't know, in television, like oftentimes you don't have time to play. There's just no time. You got to make the scenes, make the day. And with him always, there just was a sense of like, we get to like create and play. And I definitely felt that in this episode.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. It never felt like it would ever be too much. Mm-hmm. You know, it would always feel like exactly the right amount. I remember like one of my first jobs as an actor thinking that, like, I just had no clue about what it means to be on set. And I remember showing up and being like, you'll work with a director. Like in my head, I was like, you'll discuss the character, which honestly, I can't remember what the character was at this point. It was not a huge part. It was in something. And like, you get there and they're like, stand by for blocking, which means like a rehearsal and like where you're going to stand so that the crew can light you properly and things like that. And they're like, okay. And then you kind of go away and you're like, oh, I'm waiting for my moment to discuss this with the director.
Yeah.
Then you go back and they're like, action. You're like, oh my God. It's a fast moving train for sure. But yeah, I learned very quickly that that's really not what happens in film and television.
Yes.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I also loved the actress who played the bad guy of this episode. The Landwhite. Was she the Landwhite? By the way, when Trick talks about the Landwhite and he like that plant CGI happens, you were so into it. I loved how Kenzie went right down. I was like staring at this pretend plant, which would have been a pretend plant, obviously, on the day.
Yeah.
But I did clock that. I was like, wow, she's really into this plant.
Thanks, I was really committed.
you sold that plant. You really did. But yeah, but I think her name was Stephanie Belding. She played the baddie.
I loved her take on it.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. It was different.
Yeah.
Because she just was so relaxed into her badness, you know?
It was like, it was unexpected. It was really nice.
She in real life is a very, active, I don't know if I say active, but a very outspoken in a good way, vegan. So it was just funny to like see her with all these vegetables. It made sense.
Oh my God. I didn't know that.
For her to have all these vegetables around her. I was just like, oh yeah. I had just remembered that.
Life imitating art.
Exactly. Exactly. I also loved at the end, I loved with the last scene with Michael Mondo, who said, who was, you know, he was very moved and deeply grateful that we had helped him and find out what happened to his cousin, Thumper. And I love that Bo gives him the lottery ticket and Kenzie's like, whoa, wait a second. Because I just love that moment because it kind of shows like Bo was never driven by money. She was really driven by justice.
Yeah.
You know, and Kenzie is a little more of the street smart. She's not that she's driven by money, but it showed the different histories that they had.
It just speaks about like how powerful a moment can be in revealing who characters are when the writing, you know, is of that level. Like it's one moment. It has nothing to do about, you know, who they are as these characters, about their history, nothing. But in this gesture, in this one moment, like so much is shown and nothing has to be said. And I just, I loved that scene and that moment for sure.
Me too. Yeah, it's true. The other thing was that Aoife was back.
Yeah.
Which was, you know, Inga is so, oh my God.
She's angry at her at the end there.
I know. Ugh. I mean, that was a crazy scene.
Yeah.
That she like, and what I loved is that Chris, not really Chris, Dyson, played by Chris, was so good at, I mean, he was super vulnerable. Like he almost died. Like it really, it shows you, cause Dyson's so powerful. It shows you how powerful Aoife is, you know, which is this huge threat to Bo and everybody else that Bo doesn't really know yet. But, it shows you her power because if she can take Dyson down that quickly, you know, then what is she going to do later? Mwahaha. Everyone knows who's watching the show, but you know, at this point we were like, whoa. And she just did it so well. And I love that. I mean, this is the first time that Bo is able to successfully use her power to breathe life back into, which was weird to shoot. Cause I was just going into Chris's face. Poor guy.
We're like, we have some gum on standby, please. I'm just going to, yep. Just breathe on you.
He was funny though. Like whenever we had to get any kind of close or anything, he'd be like, I don't care. Like go eat peanuts or something. I don't care. And I'm like, you don't care? Like
he probably had a burrito like right before. Yeah. So he was like, yeah, your whatever you ate can't top my burrito that I just had. Famous
and
breakfast
burritos.
And I feel
like I just created a visual of me eating bags of peanuts on set, which I never did once. Just, you know, like I never ate peanuts, but I feel like that would be something that would stick in your mouth and Chris wouldn't have cared. But anyway, but I was breathing in his face.
I love how that came from love, like that she discovers this like out of love and
desperation.
And desperation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes. And I also, I mean, I love Bo and Kenzie always had fun, but there is at this point in the show, I feel like there was such a sisterly bond between them. There was less about discovering who each other is or are. Is that the right way to say it?
Yeah.
And more about just sinking into the comfortability of the relationship.
They had such a nice groove at this point.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Which I can't remember when we shot episode 12 specifically. Cause we, you know, we went out of order, but maybe it wasn't as scattered as my memory of it was. But, I know that this was towards the end. I do know that. Anyway, and I also really like the scene between Bo and Dyson on the bed where they kind of commit to each other, yeah. You know, that was a really nice scene. And it also was such a good way to set up what's going to come later of that, yeah. That whole thing breaking down.
I feel like this, yeah, that was such a beautiful, I could watch you guys all day. I swear to God, there's something about like the alchemy of you two on screen. Like it just, I'm not even trying to be like, I don't know, cheesy about it, but there's just some like magical energy, and chemistry. And I just enjoy watching you guys so much. Those scenes are so beautiful and heartfelt and yeah, just love them. Also,
thank you.
In this episode, I feel like it was also the beginning of like, Kenzie and Hale's
I know.
Dynamic and like that, you know, when they're in the office and the gardener comes to try to like open the door, that cute little shot of like their hands.
I know. I love that shot.
Yeah. It was nice to see.
He really makes a move on you. Like,
yeah,
I had
what
forgotten
happened under that table.
I know what was actually going on, Ksenia, behind the scenes for all everyone listening. What was actually happening under there with you and Mr. Collins?
I wish I had an exciting answer for you, but don't think it's going to be as exciting as we would like. Yeah, yeah, it was really nice to be able to see like the beginning of it because yeah. Season one is so far away. So in my mind, like the freshest memories are Kenzie and Hale, you know, probably like season 4, you know, when they finally get together and
yeah,
obviously, you know, tragedy strikes and whatnot. So it was great to see the.
Yeah. And we have seen that earlier in the season, like just a few episodes back, we started to see the beginnings of Kenzie and Hale. But in this episode in particular, I mean, he genuinely tries to make a move on you. And I love the way it was filmed. You're right, with the hands. Yeah. I thought it was really clever.
And then he keeps calling her small and like shorty and how annoyed yeah. she is.
Yeah. I know. There are so many good things. So yeah. many good things. Is there anything in what worked and what didn't work in this episode?
I noticed one thing that didn't work for my personal taste.
Do tell.
Of rocks hitting heads at the beginning of the.
I had no idea you had a specific taste in rocks hitting head.
I do. I wow. mean, now I know this, but the opening scene, with Thumper,
yeah.
right. And yeah. he gets hit on the head with a rock. And when he got hit on the head, it didn't look like it did to me. For my taste, it didn't look like it was like a hard enough hit. And I was like, I have beef with this moment.
Yeah.
Did you feel
yeah.
that
and
way?
Also what I noticed about it is that he got hit back in the back of his head, but then he was bleeding yeah. over here.
Yeah.
What happened? Hey, look, we both noticed that. And I had not reflected on it the same way that you had.
I spent a really long time thinking about this and I was like,
but you know, I think it's good to with that question of what worked and what didn't. I mean, there's so much that worked, right? But like, it's nice to talk about little things that you're like, huh, like it didn't quite work.
Land.
Like obviously the naked people running by didn't quite work because you didn't even notice it.
I didn't even
it should have been a slow-mo shot.
It should have been.
Although that probably would have been a different contract for those performers. But yeah.
How about for you? Were there any like silly things that you noticed where you were like,
I'll tell you what didn't work. And I feel like this whole first season of this podcast, I've commented on my hair a lot. I love Sandy, who was the man who did our hair, and yes. he was incredible, by the way. But in this episode, Beau's hair really kept falling. I had this like, kind of Laura Ingalls poof on the top mm-hmm. and it kept falling flat. And someone needed to get back there and just give it a little oomph because it was really falling over in this episode. And I was like, what is happening? So I would say that didn't work. Not okay. in every moment, but it just was a little, okay. it just kept falling. I don't know
that.
Why, but it was hot and humid. So that might be part of it.
Yeah.
But I feel like so much worked, you know, it's just like, again, we're nearing the end of the season. There's a big cliffhanger at the end with, you know, Aoife's back. I love her. Say my name, bitch. I mean, it was so
intense
right? Yeah, there was something really special about season one. It's like this episode kind of reflects, I think it kind of encaptures, it kind of captures what we loved about season one. You know, the banter between the characters, the undercover creature of the week stuff, which I think was kind of unique to season one. But some really great character development and relationship development in that framework. And I feel like this episode kind of holds that, you know?
Absolutely. And I think at this point, and you referenced this before, like in terms of Bo and Kenzie's relationship, where they were no longer in the discovery phase, but they had like, you know, found their groove. And I think also for us, like as actors, like at this point, you can tell that we've like all relaxed into our characters and like taken ownership and like, I took note of that in this episode, and it's really nice to see, because obviously the more you know who you're playing, the more you relax into it, you can, the more you can play and discover even more things with like a really solid foundation. So I just noticed everybody was really just like,
yeah, I feel like when you start, most of what you're seeing on screen is really coming from the page, which of course everything comes from the page initially. But as you evolve, there's more stuff happening that's not on the page, you know? Right. And that is exactly what you're talking about, that ease of playing the characters. And I love for Bo and Kenzie in particular, how, yes, they've kind of, they both have histories that have made them have to take advantage of situations or advantage of people. And this is not that relationship for them. Mm. You know, it's a real bond that, it's a sister bond. It's a best friend bond. And it's just like lifts each other up all the time. Yeah. Even when they disagree or whatever, it's still there. Yeah. So Miss Solo, this was so nice to see you again. Thank you for doing this. I know everyone listening will love hearing from you again on this episode, and we'll talk to you again soon. And thank you so much, everybody, for listening. And next week will be the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast season finale. So we will see you all then.
It's such a pleasure. Mwah. Mwah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast, which is produced by Anna Silk, Rachel Skarsten, and Seth Cooperman, with theme music by our very own Blood King, Rick Howland. Please rate, review, and share the Lost Girl Rewatch Podcast. This enables us to grow and to continue bringing you exciting new content every week. If you don't already, follow us on Instagram and on our YouTube channel at Lost Girl Rewatch. You can also subscribe to Patreon for exclusive bonus episodes made just for you and get early access to all of our episodes.
I have a burning question for you. When you and Dyson were in the bathtub, like looking at the pamphlets, I was wondering like how much you were ad-libbing and how much was actually on the page.
Oh my God.
It's such, I don't know if you remember, but it's just such a like fun moment. And I was
it's so couple-y.
Yeah.
Right? Like we're like, I honestly don't remember. I do remember watching it going like, we have pamphlets and we're talking like a couple because we're not undercover there.
Yeah.
But we're kind of like regular couple, like talking about trips.
I was like, what is this show?
Yeah. I know. No, I can't remember. I can't remember.
Because you were mentioning like, oh, this one has like a hot tub. Like this one has... you know, whatever. And there was just something about it that was like, it just felt so like natural that I was like, are you guys, was this scripted or are you just like making it up about like these different like hotels that you can go to and like the different.
Literally, I can't remember. I cannot remember, but that is a great question. I think all I remember is we were in like bathing suits underneath the bubbles. Well, like some kind of bathing suits. We weren't nude.
That was my next question. What was under those bubbles?
Yeah. Bathing suits. Flesh-toned bathing suits.
Sexy.
Probably. I'm guessing. That is a great question, Ksenia. I love it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. So hold my hand.